the conference is talking about resilience. Yeah. And resilience is something that we have, I think we as soil scientists have borrowed from the plant industry. But the more we think about this, the resilience should be a combination of soil components as well as plant potential based on its genetic capacity. So what I'd like to talk with you a little bit about today, and of course in 15 minutes we don't have enough time to go through all the details. We've got 9 years of data. We've got 6 manuscripts in preparation. So I'm just going to skim off the top of a technology that it took me 40 years to find it was time to set aside all these publications you need to keep up with progression and funding and so forth. And let's see if we could get a team of about 17 of us to work together on the campus. And then, of course, we've moved out since internationally as well as across the United States. So what we're talking about here is something that we believe that has a capacity to really address the major questions of how can we produce more food with less water, but also can we feed another 2.5 billion people with that's going to require somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% more water. So as we move through this, I'm going to go quickly. Hopefully you have some questions after this session as well. We got started with using Hydrus a few years ago. This was with Andre Guber. It's published in Vedasome. And we began to ask the question, can we put something into a permeable soil, starting with sand? That's the easiest one to work with initially, but we've been able to model this into the sandy loams and loamy sands. Can we develop a system that will last long enough, that means decades or perhaps generations, that will be self-governing if we have too little water or too much? In Michigan, of course, we seldom get more than 3.5 inches per hour, but we designed this to begin to drain if we have more than 3.5 inches during a 24-hour period. We'll need this, of course, in the humid tropics as well. But just looking very quickly across this, you can see that there is a change in the water holding capacity in the sand soil if we have a pretty flat aspect ratio of 5:1 versus 2:1. This is a deeper bowl. So I'm going to be talking about bowls, if you wish, of polyethylene that turn into troughs across fields, and they're located at multiple levels within the soil. Just very briefly, in a sand that's a medium texture, we can flood the system, not quite flooded, but almost 30 out of 35%, let it drain for a period of time, and we find after a couple of days, just 4, we lose a substantial quantity of water stored in this portion about 60 or 70 centimeters below the soil surface. What we've chosen, and we've discussed this many times at these meetings, is a 2:1 aspect ratio, and we can save somewhere in the neighborhood of 2, almost 3-fold increases. Well, as soon as we began to do this, we asked the question, can we keep optimum oxygen levels in that sample? And the answer is yes. The red is oxygen. You can see on the left, the oxygen concentration. The blue is a double near flooding, 30 to 32%, watching it drain very quickly above a membrane or without the membrane. And if it's above the membrane, we can show very little drop, down to 7. What is that? 7.3, perhaps, part per million. It comes back up pretty quickly. If we flood it again within a day, it drops a little more, but it does come back. So we're not down here in the anaerobic zone of 2 to 3 parts per million. If we go back into a field and dig up what we've installed, these are the 2:1 aspect ratios, 30 by 15 centimeters, and we have these balanced across the sand according to this graph. The matrix potential, of course, is a function if we drain of a function of water holding capacity. And if we have normal drainage, the field capacity is in the 10 to 9% range. If we can install these membranes, we can double that up to somewhere around 20 to 25% of volumetric water holding capacity. So the cartoon of all this is roots are growing somewhere above these 50 to 35 centimeter deep membranes that have 2:1 aspect ratios. They go all the way across the field. If we look at another cartoon, this kind of tells us what happens with the gradients of capillarity or wicking of moisture from these reservoirs, never quite saturated. And we can bring this up to almost a near dry soil surface, so we minimize evaporation.
just pictorially, this is the last 9 years, started with a whole lot of folks sitting looking at monitors, clicking switches, moved to a three chisel system that didn't work very well in California because it wasn't distributing the membrane properly. We're now working with Model 4 that has four chisels, so with each pass across the field, we install four of these at the proper locations, proper spatial distributions. Comparing the green versus the red, this is the solid lines are at 15 centimeters, the dashed at 30 centimeters. We can irrigate these sands with membranes, and we can have an equilibrium somewhere around 20%. If we don't have the membranes, everything is draining very quickly at about half that quantity. Pictorially above ground, and I think some of you have seen this in the past, these are all irrigated. Here's the drip tapes. You can see them in both. This one has the membranes that hold the water in the root zone. This has the deep leaching, so it's very difficult to get the water content, the volumetric water content, past 9 or 10%. And we see somewhere in the neighborhood of doubling the grain production between 17 metric tons per hectare and close to 10. Okay, then we worked in Iraq with a peer grant, the National Academy of Sciences NSF grants that are available. This gentleman, Mahdi Oudet, has published this. Well, it's submitted, I'm sorry. And what we have here is a very nice average of somewhere around 20-21% of water content above the membranes. Without the membranes, these are somewhere in the neighborhood of 12-13%. Won't go into the details, but he saw 38 to 46% increases in the tomatoes and with one-third of the water irrigation. So the other question is, can we contain more nutrients? Well, you can see visually here, yes. What we have here is non-irrigated. This was 2014. We had very nice rainfall rates, in fact, excessive some places. And if we had the membrane, we kept the nutrients. If we didn't have a membrane, we lost them. We had nearly the same amount of above-ground biomass. So then we asked the question, how much nitrogen did we actually save? Well, we can go through all the numbers. Again, the 15, the 0 to 15 are the red. The green are deeper, 0 to 30, 15 to 30, sorry. And we can see if we add all of these up, we are saving somewhere in the neighborhood of 37, 35 to 40 pounds of nitrogen in that root zone. So then we asked the question over a couple of years, can we really begin to show some type of benefit that's going to pay for this $2,200 installation fee initially? And every farmer I've talked to that have seen this says, I'm ready for it. I think we can pay for these membranes in 3 or 4 years. So what we have is the control non-irrigated, no membranes, parallel to where we've taken these samples, and we've seen about a 200-plus percent increase, a threefold increase in yields. As we look at this then very closely, what are we going to do with that extra fodder of Stover corn biomass, which is about 17 to 18 metric tons per hectare? And we can cut roughly that in half and send it off for some ethanol production. I won't go into much detail here except to say if you get less biomass, of course you get less ethanol. But we did see differences between the driest year we had in 35 years and a very nice moist year a year later. So we're still working with different seed companies and different groups of trying to identify what's happening with the ethanol capacity of reducing or removing some of the carbohydrates in the Stover and increasing farmer income. Well, then the question is, are we changing microbial populations? The answer is yes. We're adding roughly 4 tons of carbon. If we use the Iowan compound, what is it, 891 pounds of carbon per ton of Stover, then we can see that we're essentially doubling, whether it's 0 to 10 or 10 to 20, the quantities of microbes because the carbon is increasing. Okay? Let's move on very quickly then, and you're going to hear more about how to raise potatoes, I think, from David than us. We happened to be at the bottom of the totem pole this year as we got a little funding for potatoes, so we had to wait till the planter came. So these were planted in June 1st. So we're about 6 weeks behind the normal planting. But what I wanted to show you, what happens when we have corn with no irrigation, no membrane. This is soybeans as well. You can see the wilting. And here are the potatoes. You can't see much difference there, but this is a close-up. without the membrane, we saw quite a bit of wilting. With the membrane, of course, there was enough moisture and nutrient kept. So we looked at soybeans as well, and we saw somewhere in the neighborhood of a 56% increase. Soybeans are very difficult to go past about 70 to 80 bushel, at least in Michigan, per acre. But we're moving in that direction, and this is our third year of effort, and each year we're increasing that. So I think it's just a matter of getting that balanced best management system before we're going to see too much increase in the soybeans. In the potatoes, we saw roughly 25-26% increase with rain-fed versus irrigated plus rain-fed on the sward membranes. So we're beginning to see capacities growing, not only in the row crops that give us give the farming community the appropriate quantity of income that they can begin to have a return on investment in a very short period of time. I'll look very quickly here at peppers and cucumbers, 34-48%. These are higher priced. Here is the squash at 44% increase, the green versus the red with the sward membrane. Here's another component that we're finding, and we are adding to the ecosystem services. Right now we're saying there's 10, but that 10th one is in this model. But what we find, if we can double production with half the water, we can increase 4 metric tons of carbon per year. There are going to be some ecosystem services that have very strong benefits, especially in sandy soils. I always like to show this at the end because it's the first question in every presentation. What is the return on investment? If the cost of installing is $2,000 to $2,200, that's about where we are. If we're putting it in by hand, it's back here. But if we install it, it gets somewhere around 100% increase. We can pay for that on a corn crop increases, even at these very low prices. To this one was considered at $4.67. It's now, what, $3.45 or $50. But in 3 or 4 years, a return on investment of something that's going to last for 50 to another 200 years is a pretty good investment. So I'll stop there and take time for questions. Thank you.
Yeah, we have time for a couple questions.
Yes. The recharge question is with regard to, does the membrane retain too much of the water? The answer is not really, because it's retaining the quantity of water the plants uptake. So there's always excess that matches essentially the same as previous, especially in our condition in Michigan. We have the wet fall, the wet springs, and the snow melt and so forth. And we've watched groundwater, which in this site is about 16 feet deep. There's been not a change at all. We can't measure an inch difference. That's our accuracy. Good question. Yes?
Just a comment. That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It's on its way, but we've got a long way to go. Thank you very much, though. I'll build on that if I can. Because it's going to take some funding for the farmers to accept this. You know, if you've got 100 acres times 2,200, that adds up. If you have nothing else to do when you get home, write your senator and see if we can get this into the farm bill to pay half of it, just like the farm bills, well, it was Soil Conservation Service years ago, subsidized the drainage. We're now holding water. Here's the reason. Because we're getting close to increasing production on up to 300 million acres of sand that are flat in this country. There are 5.2 billion with a B acres of flat sand globally to feed the world. So I think we have some potential to make a change in the resilience of crops to drought. Thank you.
Thank you so much.